just have a reading in 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 5. Well-known story, but I'm sure that even this passage here in 2 Kings, as we read it tonight, will come fresh to us, even as we see the healing of Naaman. We're reading from verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, and he also was a mighty man in valor. But he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the little maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so that when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. And so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come unto thee again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Just one verse I'd like to leave with you as a text, and that is found in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, and it is the second part of the text, and this is what it says: The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, that's God's son, cleanseth us from all sin. A And may the Lord just bless the reading of His Word to our hearts. Now, we sang this evening two songs, and the word story was mentioned in the lines there, and I'm sure that most of us story lovers, we love stories. And not only that, but we love stories with a happy ending. I know not only that, but especially if the story is a true story. I know myself, I take much interest in it, especially if it's a true story. Somebody was watching television not so long ago, and I came along and I said, "What are you watching?" And this person said, "Don't touch it, it's a true story." And so I didn't touch it. I watched part of the story. But it's wonderful, isn't it, to hear a story, a true story. There was a preacher one day in South Africa. I can remember this a long time ago. I was much younger. And we didn't know, of course, at the time. But he started by giving his testimony. But he didn't tell us that it was his testimony. He read from the Bible, and then he told us an incident about this young man and what a life that he had lived. And as this took up almost the whole meeting, and as this preacher was talking about the life of this person, everybody was amazed, of course, and the sort of life that he had lived, and how that eventually this person, having heard the message of the gospel and coming to know how that the Lord Jesus Christ loves each and every one and came and died on Calvary's cross to save us, this person gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course then, right at the very end of the meeting, he said, "Now that was a very true story, because that person was me." And of course everybody had a big smile on their face, and I think the story sort of then even got to them more because of this miraculous salvation of this man who had just brought it to us. Our story tonight is a true story, the story of Naaman. It sort of starts out very sadly, but it has a very happy ending. And it not only teaches us how we can bring happiness to our lives by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, but how that happiness can be an everlasting happiness. First of all, I'm sure many of us know the story of Naaman very well. But the person in the picture here, the man of God, his name was Elisha. And who was Elisha? Elisha was one of the prophets. In fact, Elisha succeeded the prophet Elijah. And you remember how that Elijah, they were two different people. Elijah, you remember how that he was, he was very dramatic in many ways. And remember on one occasion he challenged the prophets of Baal to a situation where they had this offering and they were to pray to their God to consume the offering by fire, and then he would call upon his God to consume the offering. And we know, of course, how that the prophets of Baal failed. Their gods did not hear them. And how that Elijah, when it was his turn, he even then said to those who were assisting him, he said, "Come on now, bring buckets of water and drench the offering with water." And they poured water all over this offering, and until it was soaked, and then he called upon the name of the Lord, and we read how wonderfully God sent fire from heaven and consumed the offering. Not only the offering, but that water around the altar. But we read in 1 Kings chapter 19 that God said to Elijah and Jehu, "The son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Elbelhoha shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room or in thy place." And so God had appointed Elijah to appoint Elisha to succeed him when he left the scene. And we know how dramatically Elijah left the scene in a chariot when he went to heaven. And so here we find that Elisha was a very different to Elijah. His approach to problems was much different. Elijah was gentle. He was gracious. He was very diplomatic. He began his ministry with miracles, and he reminds us so much of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just to mention two, remember the story of Elisha, how the widow who had two sons and her husband had incurred a huge debt, and then the person to whom the debt was owed came to collect and they couldn't pay. And then we find, as we go through that story, how that this woman had come to Elisha and told him the story. And Elisha told her to go and collect vessels, and go to her neighbor and fill all those vessels with oil, with the oil that she had. And we remember how all those vessels were filled. And then she was able to pay the debt, and her sons were free. We remember also how that Elisha raised the Shunammite's son from the dead. That lady who was so kind to Elisha in giving him a room. And then we know how that God promised her a son. But one day that son died, and she came running into the field where Elisha was. And he said to her, "How is it with you?" She said, "It's well." He said, "How is it with the lad?" She said, "Oh, it is well." But of course, when she came nearby to Elisha, she told him the sad story, how that this young boy had died. But we read how that Elisha went, and through the help of God, he raised that young lad back to life again. Most of Elisha's deeds, or miracles, were deeds of kindness. And it reminds us of our Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't it? And you know, if you go to Luke's Gospel chapter 4, our Lord Jesus Christ there remarks about Naaman, in fact. He says that, "And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was healed, saving Naaman the Syrian." And so we're going to have a quick look at Naaman and how he was healed. Naaman was the captain of the army of the king of Syria, and we read that he was a great man. A great man. He was a mighty man in valor. And I can imagine Naaman there in the front line in the armies, and how that on every occasion when they went out and fought their battles, that they came back. And the king was very proud of the armies and the enemies that they had defeated. And Naaman went on to be quite a great man in the eyes of the king of Syria. But you know, Naaman, one day he discovered something. And as we read those verses there, it says, Naaman, he was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. He was a leper. And you know, dear friends, tonight this just reminds you and I tonight, that we are all sinners in God's sight. Leprosy in the Bible speaks to us of sin. And Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know, just like Naaman, who was a great man, he was a great man in the army, he's a great man in the palace of the king, he was a great man with the soldiers who fought under him. But when leprosy came, well, he got struck down too. It wasn't only for the poor. It was Naaman as well. But I think from that time on that Naaman got to know that he had leprosy, he probably felt very sad. He felt and seemed like all was lost. He must have thought about this great army that he was in charge and that he was leading into so many wars. Perhaps he was thinking of his family. But when he realized that he was a leper, maybe inside of him his spirits just dropped. And you know, dear friends, tonight, that as we have already said, that Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you know, the Bible also tells us that the wages of sin is death. Just like Naaman, he knew that he had this leprosy, all was lost, there was only one way to go, and that was to wait until the end came. The only thing for Naaman was, I don't know how he went about in the palace, but we know that people of old, in those days who had leprosy, they had to just keep their distance from everybody. They had to shout, unclean, unclean, and people had to keep their distance. And their food was given to them in a certain place, and they would probably collect it, and off they would go. And I suppose Naaman, on this occasion, maybe in the palace he had a special place there. Maybe nobody visited him, you know, when they heard of this disease that he's had. And his wife had quite a job, perhaps, to tend to his needs. But we read in this verse here that in verse 2, the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought out of had brought captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Isn't it wonderful how that God always provides a way? And you know, dear friends, tonight, if you are seeking the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's provided a way for you tonight. He's provided the opportunity for you to come tonight and to sit and listen to His word. On this occasion, the armies had gone, probably without Naaman, and they had brought back captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And I suppose their intention was that this little maid could be of some help to Naaman's wife. She could help her. She could be a help around the house and perhaps take Naaman his food and take him his drinks, help clean up around the place. That was the idea, that this little girl would be of some help to Naaman and to his wife. But this little girl here, she come from the land of Israel, and she knew God, and she loved God, and she heard about God in the house. She heard her parents speak about God. She heard her friends speak about God, and she knew who God was. She knew what God could do, and she knew of God's great love. And as she worked in that palace day by day around and about Naaman, and perhaps on some occasions saw his sadness, saw how he reacted to this leprosy that he had, she must have thought about it, and then to herself she said, oh, wait a minute, there is some help for Naaman. And I'm not going to be quiet, I'm going to tell him about God. You know that many people today, you can talk to them, you can speak to them, they'll tell you their problems. But if you say to them, well, look, I can sort of help you to solve some of those problems. Have you heard about God? Have you heard about the Lord Jesus Christ? And you'll find that most times, or many times, people will turn off. And they'll say, no, I don't want to hear that. Especially when it comes from perhaps a little child. You know that the Bible says a little child shall lead them. And on many occasions, God uses even little children to bring to the attention of adults His love and His word. I can remember back in South Africa, I must have been about 10, 11 years old, and I went around with the folk in the gospel meeting to deliver some tracts around the area. And I came up to this gate, and there was an elderly man standing at the gate leaning over, and I walked quite brazenly up to him and I gave him a tract to read. And you know, he went to the gate and he says, "What do you mean?" And he went to the gate and he sort of ran up to me and said, "Oh, you little nipple, what do you think I am? You little fellow like you coming to give me a tract and tell me about God." But you know something, dear friends, at that stage I feel that I probably knew more about God than he did. And if you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior from that very moment that you put your faith and trust in Him, well, you just get that feeling of relief and that feeling that, well, God is in your life and He's forgiven your sin. And if an older person comes along who has not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior, well, you definitely have more experience than they have. Well, this man almost chased me down the road. But nevertheless, here was Naaman. He was in need. He knew he had this disease called leprosy. And I admire Label and Naaman tonight, because this little girl, she came along and she said to her mistress, she said to Naaman's wife, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid." And they went and took the message to Naaman, and they said, "This little girl says there is a prophet in the land of Israel, a man of God, and he can help you with your situation." Naaman, he took note. He didn't say, "Oh, she's just a little girl, don't take any notice of what she says." That's what he could have done. But Naaman, he took note. And perhaps the earnestness of which the message came to him as well made him take note. And Naaman went to the king and he told him the story. And the king got all excited. And the king said, "Well, Naaman, there is hope." And so the king prepared a letter and also 6,000, what does it say here, took with him 10,000 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Syria. And of course, he told him what the letter was all about. The letter almost brought an argument between the two kings, because this king thought that the other king was trying to pick an argument with him. He said here, "Does he think that I am God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send to me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." Of course, the king was only someone that one king was writing to the other so that he knew exactly what was happening. And eventually, Elijah got to hear that the king had received this message, and he said, "Send him to me. Send him to me, and today he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." And so first of all we find that Naaman, he took note of the message. He took note of the message. And he took advantage of the offer. He accepted the invitation. And he departed and made the journey to Israel. Dear friends, tonight, If you have not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you feel that need within yourself, and you realize that you need to be saved, perhaps you've accepted the offer tonight from someone, the invitation to come to this gospel meeting and to listen to God's word. You've come to the gospel hall, just like Naaman did. He went all the way to Israel. He went on that long journey. And now, dear friends, you've heard the message of the gospel. You've heard the invitation. Naaman comes to Elisha and he sends one of his servants in. And the servant comes out and he gives Naaman the message. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come, and thou shalt be clean." But we find when Naaman got the message that he was a little bit angry. You see, he had come. He had come for help. He had come to the person who could help him and heal him. But we find here that Naaman, when he receives the message, he was angry because the way that the message came, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. And thou shalt be clean." But Naaman's mind immediately went to the fact that the Jordan was probably one of the dirtiest rivers. And he thought perhaps that Elisha would come out and lay his hands on him, as he said, and pray, and the leprosy would be healed. You see, Naaman came, he came to the right person, but he wanted to come on his own terms. And he was very upset. He was very annoyed when he heard the message. Elisha didn't come out. He sent someone out and told him exactly what to do. And you know, tonight perhaps you are seeking the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Perhaps you've been pointed to him. Perhaps he's speaking to your heart tonight and telling you that he loves you and he cares for you. And he wants to save you. But perhaps you are saying to him, "But can't I do it my way? Surely the good that I'm doing, the kind deeds that I'm doing, the life that I'm living, the fact that I'm in the meeting tonight and many other nights, surely this is good enough for me to gain entrance into the kingdom of heaven? Isn't that all right?" And this is what Naaman was trying to say, you know, "Are not the rivers of Abana and Pharpa cleaner than the rivers of Jordan? Can I not go and wash in them and be clean? Why do I have to go to this dirty river in Jordan?" And Naaman was a little bit upset because it wasn't the way that he expected it would happen. But you know, the Bible tells us that God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And you know, many times you can hear of testimonies of people who've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And when you think and you listen and you hear, you find the many different ways that God speaks to the hearts of men and women, and boys and girls, for them to come to know him as their own and personal Savior. I remember one occasion we had a cottage meeting in South Africa in a home, and we had a loudspeaker outside, and we had a man come to preach the gospel, and he hadn't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for that very long. But you know, I can remember this man, he was a postman. And I'll tell you how he got saved, because he used to come from work on many occasions and stand outside and listen to the gospel being preached in an open air. And most times he'd had a drink in, and we'd ever wondered, you know, whether he knew what we were talking about. Well, I was just a youngster at that stage, but he came on many occasions. And then one evening, they asked him to give his testimony in this cottage meeting. And you know, although we had the microphone, you could hardly hear his voice. His voice was so weak. It was so soft. And he was so simple and tender in everything that he was saying. And we wondered whether people was even hearing him. But you know something? When the meeting was over, somebody from outside came in. And they had heard some of the words that he had said and got saved that night. So you see, God works in wonderful ways. And here was Elisha, this gracious man, this tender man, and he didn't want to put up a big show in front of Naaman. He just sent the messenger out. He said, go and tell him to wash in the river Jordan. Anyway, Naaman was upset, but we read here that he had some servants with him, and the servants said to him, but master, look, if the prophet came out and said to you, go and do some great thing, right, would you not have done it? Isn't it better for you to go and wash in the Jordan and be clean? And of course Naaman thought about that. And then we find that he takes heed. It's wonderful to know, you know, that sometimes God speaks to us and we don't listen, or we say, can't I do it another way? Or isn't there a better way? And we try and work around the matter. I know for many years I went to Sunday school and I went to the gospel meetings and I went to the open airs, and I thought it was okay, and you know, until one day somebody said to me, are you saved? And I started to think about it. But here we find Naaman. He thought about it and he said, well, maybe they're right. You see, dear friends, Naaman realized that if he was going to be healed, he had to carry out the command of Elisha, the prophet. And if we want to be saved, if we want to get to God's heaven, we have to come God's way. And that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Naaman went down and he washed 7 times as Elisha had told him. And we read here that his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He was clean once and for all. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that if there is a God, there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. And when Naaman realized that he was dealing with the true God, with the man of God Elisha and God himself, he was humbled. But there was never a more grateful person than Naaman when he realized that he had been cleansed from his leprosy. And you know, dear friend, I can remember the night that I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I walked from the back of the hall to the front, and there before the meeting was out, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come to my heart. And I could feel the difference. I was so grateful. I felt that that burden had rolled from off my back. And I was happy to know that my name was written in Heaven's Book of Life. And instead of trying to get out of the hall first, I was the last one out. But I praise God because he saved my soul that night. And then Naaman, when he was healed, he wanted to give the man of God Elisha all these presents, all this gold he brought with him, all the changes of clothing, all the silver. But Elisha said, no, we won't have that. And Elisha was quite happy by just bringing him in touch with God and having his leprosy healed. We know that the Lord Jesus Christ, it reminds me so much of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we go to Luke's Gospel chapter 4, we read there that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the people in Nazareth, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And then the Lord Jesus Christ said to them, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was healed or cleansed, save Naaman the Syrian." And not long after that, we read in verse 12 of chapter 5, that it came to pass when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And he put forth his hand, and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." There we have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Master himself, healing this leprous man. And you know, dear friends, tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is longing and yearning. If you have not trusted him as your own and personal Savior, he wants to save you now. There is a story sweet to hear. I love to tell it too. The story of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he left heaven's glory and died on Calvary's cross. For God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that's the story of the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel. Tonight, dear friends, if you can accept the fact that you are a sinner in God's sight, and that the only way back to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ, trust him as your Savior tonight, and I can assure you, your name will be in heaven's book of life.